dads. There's a kitchen downstairs. There's food down there. There's drinks down there. You just take care of those kids. And the rest of us, we'll just stay up here and worship the Lord. I don't have anywhere else to be. I plan on, as Dale said, tomorrow many of us got to go to work. But today is the day of the Lord. Amen. Let's worship Him today, because we may not be able to tomorrow. So pray for him as he comes to preach. This is our youngest son, Brandon Grammer, and I ask that you pray for him. Sister Tara came up and said that Ed Winter called, and she wants these young preachers to wear these mics so that she can hear every word. What they do is we put them on the computer, and she's down there in Tennessee, in Alabama. It's just as bad as Tennessee. But she's down there in Alabama, and some of y'all get offended by that. But she's way down there, and she listens to the website. She goes to the website and listens to the program. So you pray for him as he comes to preach for us this morning.
It's good to be out this morning. I was looking forward to this about all month already. And then when Dad asked me to preach, I started dreading it a little bit. You guys are my family, as you know that, and you are my friends. And that song that Dale just sung at the end, you know, I know that my name's written down in the Lamb Book of Life. And this week I've been traveling. Most of you know I travel to Louisville every day and back. And so I've been listening to a lot of songs. And that's just when God gives me time to think and just talk to Him. And there's a song Brian Free in Assurance sings that says, "I know where I stand." And I just thank God that when I was 8 years old, I found out where I could stand at. And that the world tries to tell us, they try to tell you where to stand and where to be at and what you can and what you cannot do. I'm glad when I was 8 years old, God told me that I was saved. And not only was I saved, but I wouldn't have to be worried about whether I'd be alone anymore, whether my troubles and my trials, what was going to happen. But He said, you know what? I will be there from the beginning to the end. And I will be there for you. And there's this thing that I didn't want to do, and I'm just going to go with it. And God has given me some scripture, and God's given me a message to preach, and I've got to do it. That's my job as a preacher, is to preach the truth and preach what God has given me today. And I'm going to try to do that as best of my ability. I'm going to try to get out of the way and let Steve, if God will, have him come on up and finish the message. But here's what I'm looking at, and I didn't want to do this on a friends and family day, but preach a message about family. You don't want to do the cliche thing, and you don't want to get in there, but this is what God has given me. If you would, just turn to Luke. And I'm going to be in Luke chapter 15, very familiar scripture, and I'm going to focus it, though, a little bit different, some way I've never done it before. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, if you would, just turn with your Bibles there. Very familiar scripture about the prodigal son. And if we could just restart in verse 11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came unto himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" And you may be seated at this time. If I had a thought today, and God has laid this on my heart a long time ago, and just now I'm able to preach it, my thought today would be two sons. And then in the Bible, you can go back, and there's a lot of mentioning of two sons. And in this one in particular, you had two sons. The younger of them came to his father, and this is just the youth coming out. And he would come to his father, and he would say, "Father, give," and mind you, his father has not perished. Comes to his father and says, "Give me my inheritance." And what did the father do? He gave it to him, but he also gave it to the older. He didn't just give it to the one who asked. He also gave it to the one who didn't ask. And that young son went out into the world, and said that he journeyed there into a far country where he wasted his substance with riotous living. And if I had a thought today, it would be that, you know what, there's a lot of us that go out in the world and we think we're going to get what we need from it. There's a lot of us that go and we say, you know what, this is what my life is supposed to be, and this is the way it's going to be, and I'm going to go make my life the way I see fit. And the Father has another plan for us.
Yeah.
But we say, you know what? This is my way. I'm going to go do it. We waste all that we have.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this right now. I'm not a rich man. You can probably tell by looking at me. I don't have a lot of things. I don't have a fancy car, as that song says. And I don't have a mansion. I don't have any of those things. But what I have, God gave to me.
Yeah.
I may not be able to give you any dime out of my pocket. Oh, but today if you ask for my coat, I'll give it to you.
Hey.
If you ask me for my shoes, I'll take them off for you.
Yeah.
But that's all I can give you. And I'm thinking about Peter and John and how they were going into the temple. And the lame man said, silver, and he said, give me. He was begging for stuff. He wanted something that he could give them out of their pocket. And he said, silver and gold have I none. Oh, but what I could give to you. Oh, it's so much more. Oh, sinner, today you may be sitting here in this church and you may say, you know what, I have a need and I'm trying to fill it with certain things and I'm trying to live in the world and it's just not working. It's just not working and I can't give you a lot of things. I can't give you a house. I can't give you diamond rings. Oh, but I can give you Jesus today. That's all I can offer you. All I can give you is that God is coming to this world and He said, you know what, I'm going to give you my Son. I'm going to give Him to you. So that He might be able to die, so that you might be able to live.
Amen.
You see, God has been so good to me, and I can never repay Him. And where am I going with all this? And if you look in Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you go on into Romans 6:23, it says what the wages are. The wages of sin is death. But I'm glad it continues. But the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
You see, no matter who you are in this church house, you've sinned.
Amen.
And I've just told you about two sons, the youngest who came to the father and said, give me this.
Yeah.
And the older who didn't ask but was given it. But there was a first son in Genesis. His name was Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was in the garden that God had provided for him, given everything he had need of. And He gave him a warning, but don't eat of this tree.
Yes.
Don't eat of it. You can eat of any other tree that I've given. But this one, don't touch it. Just stay away.
Yeah.
And you can go in the Bible and you can read about all God's warnings to us. And how, you know what, you're going to go in the world.
Yes.
I've given you all these good things, but if you touch these things, your life will be wasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you give in to the things of the world, your life will be wasted. But what did Adam do? He saw the one thing he could not have.
Yeah.
And he desired after it. That's the way our life is sometimes, Jim.
Yeah.
We got so much to be thankful for.
Amen.
But we always look at the things that I don't have.
Yeah.
For the past 2 years, I lived in a world where I just wanted things that I did not have. And I pursued them and I went after them and I went after them thinking they made me happy. And I came back dissatisfied. And you guys may find this a little funny, but today I was sitting there thinking about that song. I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. That's a worldly song, but you think about it, it's got a lot of wisdom in it. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you give into the world, you're not going to get any satisfaction. You're not. You're not going to do it. The world is just there for us to fall and fall. In Ecclesiastes, he says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath done already done, hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in the head, but the fool man walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happened to them all.
Right.
You see, all we can look at is darkness when we're following after the world.
Yeah.
All we can go after is darkness. Things that make us fall. Things that make us want more and want more. Some of that we might be satisfied. But just like the young man who went out in the world, it says that immediately he spent all that he had.
Yes.
And he was in want. He wanted more. And he wanted more, but the problem was he couldn't buy anything with it. He had no money.
That's right.
So what did he do? He made himself a servant.
Yeah.
Gave himself to another citizen of that country. And he took him, and I believe this was a Jewish boy, and he took him into his house and said, go feed the swine, the lowest job that you could have. Being a Jew, the lowest job you could have. And he looked at that, looked at those pigs, looked at those hogs, and what did he say? I just want the husk. Just the husk that they're eating off of. Your want will never be satisfied. And sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll take you further away than you want to go. You'll pay a higher price than you want to pay. There's a book that I was reading that talked about the law of the price tag. You hardly ever pay less than what you get. Think about it. You hardly ever pay for things less than what you're going to get. I don't go into a car store and buy something, go to a Ford and get out of the Bentley. That doesn't happen. Sin, when you pay for sin, you pay a deep price.
Yes.
Families are torn apart.
Yeah.
Houses fall down.
Yeah.
Jobs are lost. Countries fall apart.
Yes.
All because of sin.
Yes.
Sin in this world can make you turn away from your entire family. If you go into the Bible and you look at all the people in the Bible, they will always say, just go back to God.
Yes.
You look at David, how many times David fell. David fell and fell, but he kept going back to God. You see, sinner friend, you're in the midst and you're looking at us thinking we're crazy. I live for another country.
Yes.
You see, I live for something beyond what you can see. My treasures are laid over in heaven.
Amen.
While we may have, you know, I have a great family. I love my family with all my heart. I got great kids, a great wife, all I could ask for. But I can tell you this, I won't leave a lot for them. There's not going to be an inheritance that they can come ask me for because I don't have it. But what I give them, I give them Jesus. I can just tell them about God as I bring them up. I can just tell them about what they have need of in their life. And here's all I can say to you as a sinner. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world.
Yeah.
And it is certain we can carry nothing out.
Right,
what are you living for?
Yes.
I talked about that first son, Adam. And how Adam had fallen. But I want to tell you about Jesus today. The only begotten son. Here's son number two. I told you it's going to be about two sons. This is the second son. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. See, Adam resembled Jesus, is what he's saying there. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if any through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many.
Amen.
Praise God today. And not as it is was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is by many offenses unto justification. Praise God that, you know what, you may have done a lot of things in this world and you may say, you know what, I can't get to God because I've done so much and I got to fix my life. I'm glad that it says, you may have done a lot of things, but the justification of God is through many offenses. You cannot not have done so much to not be able to get to God.
Amen.
You're not too far away to get to God today is what it's saying right there. The second son took care of all the others.
Amen.
The second son was the one who made it possible for you and I to get saved today.
Yeah, right.
The second son was the one who said, you know what, I'll go, Father.
Right.
I'll go. I'll go for my brothers and I'll go for my sisters. I'll go and I'll hang upon the cross. But on that third appointed day, I'm going to walk out a victor.
Right.
I'm glad today that when he spoke to Lazarus, as you said in that song, as he spoke to Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they said, what are you going to do? He's been laying in the grave way too long. He said, look, I am the resurrection. I'm glad today that, you know what, you may have all these things in the world and you may be thinking that you're happy, but there's going to come a day.
Yeah.
There's going to come a day where you're going to want more and it's just not going to be enough. You cannot be filled by these worldly things. God is the only thing that can fill your soul today. That's it. Only God can get your needs filled today. You see, what is our greatest need? Well, it's not a house. It's not a car. It's that I might go to heaven. And not just go to heaven, but just that I might not have to go to hell.
Yeah.
You see, it spoke about darkness. It says that in hell it's going to be just so much darkness. So much darkness that it's absent of light. Have you ever went into a dark room and just took a lighter in there and just turned it on? The light penetrates darkness. But it's going to be so dark that light can't even penetrate it in hell. And in hell it says that you will die, and never die. And that there'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It is a horrible place to go. And my heart is so heavy, Dad, today for the sinners. Why? Because I once was one. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You see, I was once one of these people who, you know, wanted things of the world. And there's still times when that comes through, Jim. But I just go back to God. And I say, you know what, my Father. And I'm going to end on this. You look at the first son. The first son, he went after all these things. And it said, how many servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I've got a 9-month-old daughter, and when she gets hungry, she lets the house know. And I can imagine there's kids that are in this world that they don't get enough to eat. All right. And when they're hungry, their crying never stops. Our souls are hungry today. And until we're filled, that crying will never stop. Until we're filled with what God wants us to have, and that's Him, our soul will continually cry out of hunger. And when He came to Himself, He thought about His Father. When I was lost, sitting in the second pew about where Carlene is, at Green Hills Missionary Baptist Church, I became lost. Because at that moment, I realized I needed something. There was a need in my life, and His name was Jesus. I remember it plainly as day, just sitting there. I was raised in church. My mom and dad, as you guys know, are great people. My dad's a preacher, so I knew about God. But it didn't take my mom and my dad to tell me what was happening. I came to myself. And I remembered all the things that I'd been told. God told me He spoke my name. You see, when God calls, He just doesn't say anybody. He goes to each, every single one of you. And He'll speak your name. It won't just be an all call. It's going to be an individual call. Why? Because He knows you. A month ago, I preached a message here about how when Jesus was sitting there and He saw Philip coming after Him, He said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." And what was Philip's response? "How do you know me? How do you know me? Oh, I saw you. I saw you. I saw you when you were under the fig tree. Oh, I saw you before Nathaniel found you. I saw you. I know you." God knows you today. He knows you. Not just because you're sitting in church. Even if you weren't in church, He still knows you. When you're sitting in the world, when you're sitting, you know, with your friends, when you're sitting at the house, when you're laying in bed, when you're driving in the car, He still knows you. One of my favorite preachers, Sterling Bowen, was saved in his dump truck, in the coal mining trucks. When he was going to work, he was saved there. God knows you. Why? Because why? The second son. He said, "Dad, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go for my brother. I'll go for you, Jim. I'll go for you, Steve. I'll go." And He saw you and said, "I'll go." And when He hung on the cross, I believe it. It says that the sins came. It says that He said to His Father, you know, "Father, why have Thou forsaken me?" And I believe that because all the sin of the world just came on Him. And He saw every sin that you'll commit. And He felt it. He felt it down in His heart. He felt it in every betrayal, every time you said, "No God, no God." And every time that Peter denied God, He felt that. Every time you deny God by not living the way He tells you to live, He feels that. He took that all upon Him and said, "Look, I'll still go." As the song said they just sang about, He could have called 1,000 angels. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called 1,000,000 angels to come get Him. But He said, "You know what? I'll take it. I'll do it." And for that reason, I know where I stand. Amen. Why? Because on that third appointed day, He walked out, defeated death, hell, and the grave, so that we might have life and life everlasting. Amen. Two sons. I'm going to ask you, which one are you today? The second son and the prodigal son, he stayed home with dad. Think about it. He could have taken all the stuff that his father had given him and said, all right, dad, I'm going to go buy my own stuff. But you know what he did? He said, all right, I'm going to stay with you. Yeah. I'm going to stay with you, dad, and I'll take care of all this stuff. And the second son left. But what I like about that second, the story could have ended right there.
Yeah.
But the second son came back.
Amen.
I thank God today that we're able to come back to where he wants us to be at.
Amen.
That's what God has given me today. And I want to get out of the way, let Steve come on up. But I believe that there are lost in our midst.
Yeah.
My heart's been heavy all week long. I believe that there are lost. I believe there are people sitting in our pews today, Steve, that need a touch from God.
Yeah, right.
That need that second son to come into their life.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to turn it on over to Steve if he wants to come on up.
Already thankful for what we've heard. And I also believe that there's lost in our midst this morning. And you know, when we read the Word of God, and certainly when the preachers preach the Word of God, the gospel is the good news.
Yeah.
The good news is today that you don't have to stay that way.
Amen.
The good news is that the Lord has already paid the price.
Yeah.
That there's nothing He requires of you this morning of silver or gold. There's no worldly possession that you could bring that would satisfy the sin debt. But His blood that was shed on Calvary was enough. And all you need this morning is just to give your heart to the Lord. We've heard testimony already this morning of ones coming that were children. What could they possibly have to offer to give to the Lord that would pay for sin? They have nothing. All that they had, like the prodigal son, was what his father and mother had for him. They didn't own anything. But God still called them and told them that they were lost.
Amen.
And just keep in mind this morning that the gospel is the good news. I tell you what, when it came my way and condemnation set up in my heart, I thought for a moment there, how could this be good news? That He came by and told me that I was lost and undone. That hell would be my home if I died. How could that be good news? But the good news is that there was an answer for that. That there was a Redeemer for that. And that I didn't have to stay that way. The good news is that we can have heaven as our home. The good news is that Jesus Christ paid the price. And I just had some scripture, and I tell you what, you know, Brandon asked me when we got here this morning, he says, how are we going to do this? And I said, well, you know what? We're just going to follow the Spirit of God. And like Brother Roger said Friday night, five preachers stood up at least and followed the Spirit of God. And if you listen to the messages, one went right after the other, and it just basically explained the plan of God from beginning to end. And all things were covered. An opportunity was given that someone might meet the Lord in a free pardon of sin. That's what we're here for this morning. An opportunity given that you might know the Lord in a free pardon of sin. I'm going to read in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. If you want to turn there, I'll give you just a minute. But again, just an understanding this morning that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the good news that He came into this world, born of a virgin birth, and that raised up a little while. And there was a coming a time in His life where He said, you know what? I must be about my Father's business.
Yeah.
And He went out into the world and He preached the gospel. And He told people that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. It was here, that there was no need again to wait one more minute for that great kingdom to come, that it had arrived. All things had been, it's all prophecy had been fulfilled. Now it says today is the day of salvation. He didn't mean that this Sunday, but He meant that when the gospel is preached to your soul, that's the appointed time where you might be saved. And I'll go ahead and read here in the first chapter of the first epistle of Peter. We'll start with verse 3. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom have not seen ye love, in whom thou know ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, even the salvation of your souls. And I'll just stop my reading there for a moment. And just tell you this morning, if you're one of the God's children this morning, that's the good news, is that what you have in your heart is incorruptible. And the preacher already mentioned that you go out into the world and surely the darts of hell may assail. They might come against us from time to time, but there's a place down on the inside protected by the blood of Jesus Christ that'll never be defiled. There's a place down on the inside when He saved my soul that I can't put a blemish on that. I can't put up that in a place where the world might corrupt it, for that's what God has given us. And just like the Word of God, and this world has tried over and over to make that a perverse thing in that by trying to change it, but this is the incorruptible Word of God. And I tell you what, if He saved your soul this morning, that's the incorruptible Word of God. He has sealed you to a day of redemption. He sealed you forevermore, and there's nothing in this world that could come against you where that might be changed. That's the good thing. That's the good news this morning, is that if you are saved, you're saved forevermore. Everything else in this world that you might have, there's a chance you might lose. We've already heard that cars and houses, they come and go. Jobs may come and go. Friends and family, surely, they come and go. But the things that God has given us will last us forever. I'm thankful for that. And we can stand in the church house this morning and rejoice in those things, knowing what God has given us will never fade away. But we can come together as long as time stands into the church house, and we can come together as family, as God's people, and we can rejoice in the fact that we can stand and say that I'm a child of God. That we can stand and say that whether I live to be 20, 60, or 80, or 100, that I'll one day meet my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this morning, Brandon, I'm sure that there's people in the church house this morning, they can't stand and say that this morning. They've not been born again. And I tell you what, again, like I said before, the gospel is the good news. The gospel, though, will bring condemnation. It'll let you know where you stand with God. And the second part of this scripture I want to read, it's in Isaiah in the 59th chapter. And I'm glad Brother Brandon mentioned Adam in that, in the garden there where he had eaten of the tree. And he knew he was guilty in that. And when God came by, it said that they hid themselves, but God knew exactly where they were. Well, this morning, let me tell you something. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you stand, and you'll not hide from it. The one thing about the gospel, Brother Jason, when it came to my heart that night back in 1994, I tried to mix and mingle into the crowd. I tried to look just like one of them, but He found me out. He found me standing in my sins and showed me exactly where I stood with God, and there was no denying that. The brother that was preaching the revival that night didn't know me by name. I didn't know who I was, but the preacher from on high came by that evening, and he went right back to that third pew up against the wall there at Trinity and said, you know what? Tonight this one's for you. You're the one this evening that needs to be saved. Well, this morning the gospel will find you out. And the good news here, and it says in the 59th chapter, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. And that's where you are as a lost person tonight. You're in a place this morning where God can certainly save you, and it's already been mentioned. He felt surely when He stepped out of the aisle that God had already met Him right there in the aisle and saved His soul. That's exactly what will happen this morning. If you give your heart to the Lord, you won't have to come up here. He's not looking for some great swelling words from you. He's not asking you to stand here and list your sins and ask forgiveness one for another. He's just asking that you be humble in heart and contrite spirit to step out on faith that He might not stand up here waiting for you, but He would meet you there in the aisle and let you know that He saved your soul. He'll bring you down to a place where you might get to do the most precious thing that a Christian can do, and that's kneel and bow and praise His name and pray to an Almighty God, and your prayers would be heard this morning. Oh, that's the good news, that your prayers can be heard. It says in verse 3, it says, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." And I tell you what, sometimes that's a hard scripture to hear. And certainly when I was a lost man, I hadn't thought of myself in that way. I thought I was a pretty good guy. I never thought of myself as being a sinner. I never thought of myself as living a life that was contrary to the Word of God. I never thought of what exactly my life had meant up to that point. But my life was about vanity. My life, and I'll tell you what, was about making sure that I went out into the world and that I had friends and that people liked me and the things that I had in this world, that they were the best that they could be. I was living my life like that prodigal son. I had gone out and I was spending every dime that I had to please the world in that. That's what the Scripture's telling us. It's not that these things that you purposely go out and lie. It's not that you purposely go out and do things that are wrong. But if there's a separation between you and God, the things in your life are of sin. That's just all there is to it. Everything that's not of God is of sin. The best laid plans in that, and the best things that you could do, if you decide to set up a charity, the world will tell you, and they'll pat you on the back, and they'll say setting up a charity is a wonderful thing. You're going to help many, many people. But if you're doing those things to get a pat on the back, that's sin. Those things aren't of God. The greatest thing we can do to help mankind is bring them to the house of God, where they might hear the gospel and have it preached to their soul, that they might get saved. And I tell you what, all the things in the world that they might think they need, they'll get fulfillment from God and let God bless them, and He'll give them all the things that they have need of. It says in the fifth verse, it says that they hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web, and he that eateth of those eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. And I tell you, I read that verse and I struggled with it a little bit, and I'll just tell you this morning what a cockatrice is, and that's a venomous viper in that. And I just thought about how the lies that I had told in my life, and the lie that I was telling myself when my family turned their lives over to God and they started to ask me to go to church in that, and all the different lies that I would have to come up with, lying to myself in that, that I didn't need those things and I didn't want those things, and I tried to avoid those things. And it says here, I imagine this is where I said, and Brandon Brent mentioned a worldly song in that. Well, we have those worldly sayings, and one of them is, what a tangled web we weave when first we set out to deceive. Well, here it is in the Bible here. It says that they weave the spider's web, and they eat it those eggs and that. And I thought about the lies that maybe the devil's telling you this morning, the lies in your heart this morning, telling you, well, I don't need to go up there, and I don't need to seek after the things of God. I'm doing just fine. I love God, and I know that God loves me, and that's just good enough. But my Bible tells me that condemnation must set up in the heart, that you must repent. It says in the Bible, repent and be baptized. If there's no repentance, then there's no salvation. You can't be anywhere in this world and just decide that I just want to love God today. I think I'll just have God as my friend today and just accept Him in that. That's not how you get saved. But I tell you what, these lies in that that you're starting to live by in that, I tell you what, if you keep them to yourself, just like the venom of a snake, it'll eat you up inside. And I tell you what, if you start to let them out, those lies will get out, just like those small vipers, and they'll go out and start setting up lies. And I tell you what, there'll not be enough time in your life to chase them all down and to get rid of them. You need to get Jesus in your life and stop living the lie. Stop living the world, the religion in that that's been set up by the world. Stop living the religion maybe that somebody that you respected in life told you you had. You need to get a personal salvation, one that's between you and God, one that you can go back to, just like the many times they set up the altars in that, when they crossed over Jordan and they built lift up the stones in that, it was a tribute, a place where they could go back and they could say, this is the place where God delivered me. You need that place in your life where you can find a place and you can tell them, there's a place in this in my life where God met me and He delivered me from a swelling river. I was about to drown in my sins, but God pulled me out of this. You need to have that place in your life where you can do that, where you can go back and remember the time that the Lord saved you. That's what you need this morning. It says their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are the works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. And I thought about that how. And just yesterday, we were cleaning up our basement, trying to get it ready and that. And it seemed like we were just sweeping cobwebs all over the place and spider webs everywhere. And it felt like we were completely covered in them. But when you looked, you couldn't hardly see them. You just felt they were there. That's exactly how the web of lies is in our lives. That's exactly how the web of false religion is in your lives. You might think that it's covering you up, but God can see right through it. He can see right through that, down to a place in your heart that is unsaved. And I tell you what, when you start to look around for your religion one day, and you say, I know I've got it all over me, and you start to look for it, you'll not be able to find it, because God's already given you an answer this morning. Brother Brandon preached enough about salvation and about living for God that you could have been saved. Whatever you're sitting in this morning, you're sitting in your pew, whatever it is that's keeping you from coming forward and accepting the Lord, one day you're going to look for it and it's not going to be there. Those lies and that deceit that you keep telling yourself. And I believe this, church, that there's not people out in your life that are telling you that you're okay. You're telling you that you're okay. And that's a lie that the devil has set up. He doesn't want you to get saved this morning. He likes playing in your pockets. He likes having free roam in your life. He likes going out into the world and to deceive people. He likes when people can go out and say, oh, well, it's good that those people in my life go down there to that missionary Baptist church. That's good for them. But I serve God my own way. He loves that about you because that's a false way. That's the web of lies. That's those viper eggs that'll break open and go out into the world and start spreading more lies. That's why this world, you can drive up and down this road and that. You can pass many, many church houses and you can pass, and they'll all have the different names above the doors and that. But I tell you what, it was good thing to hear Friday night. It says, that he can tell you about the religious leaders of every one of those false religions, and he can take you to their grave sites, but you can't take them to the grave site of Jesus Christ because it's an empty one. For my Redeemer liveth. All those other religions, their leaders have come and gone. They've died. They're as dead men's bones. But my Lord liveth this morning, and you can be alive too. I'll end with this, just a little thought here, and I thought, Brother Brandon, this was kind of funny too. When he asked me to preach Friend and Family Day, the scripture that I was reading at the time was about in the book of Job, and he had lost all his friends and family. And I thought, well, what in the world would you have me come and talk about Job for on Friends and Family Day? He lost all of his family. They had all died. And here we're reading here in the 19th chapter where all of his friends had turned against him. And they had all told him that if God has done all these things to you, surely it's because you're such a wicked man and you've done all these things in sin and that. But Job says to him, he says in the 25th verse of the 19th chapter, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin and worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." I'm thankful this morning that no matter what turns against me in this world, no matter what might come against me in the flesh, one day I'll know that I get to see my Lord. It might be in my own time. I might die sometime in my 40s. I might live to be 90 and this world still be spinning, and I might just see Him one-on-one. But it might be in that great day when He comes to split the eastern sky that we all see Him for the same time. But I know this morning that I will see my Redeemer face to face. I will see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and I'll get to stand there at the throne. What a great thought this morning to see not only the Son of God, but to see God Himself and be able to thank Him through the ages for all all that He's done for me. And I tell you what, this morning, if you're in the church house this morning and you just say, oh, well, I know that the singers have got up and they testified a little bit about how wonderful it was to be saved. And the one singer's parents got up here and their testimony just seemed to be awfully similar to that he might know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's going to see God. And then a preacher got up and he started to preach about his testimony and how that God saved him. And he has this surety in his heart that he's going to see God. And here's another preacher standing in front of me saying that no matter what happens, no matter what comes against him, he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's going to see God. Then why is it that I can't feel that way? Why is it that I don't feel that way? Why is it that I can't stand up this morning and stand in the church house and proclaim that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to see God? The good news this morning, church, is that you can have that assurity. You've just got this morning to accept it in your heart. Understand that it doesn't matter. You might think, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, let me tell you something. The very best person in the world and the most vile sinner in the world, the same span stands between you and God, and it's sin. And sin must be overcome. Sin must be forgiven. It doesn't matter if you're a 6-year-old boy or girl, then you've come to the realization that you're lost, or whether you're up in years in that and lived a whole life defiling the church and doing everything you can against God. It's just sin. It's sin that's been imputed into the body. It's just as simply as being born into this world. Sin is in that flesh and in that body, and that must be forgiven. And you can have that this morning. That's what Jesus is here for. And you say, well, Jesus is here this morning. I've already felt the Spirit when I walked in this morning. It says in the Bible that the kingdom was in the hearts of men. The Spirit of God is here. Jesus Christ was here this morning to talk to you and to tell you that you're lost and undone. But He's also here to give you that invitation that you need not stay that way. That's the wonderful thing this morning. The wonderful thing was, and it's hard to hear, the wonderful thing about my life is one day God came by and told me I was a sinner. One day God told me that I was undone. God told me that I wasn't one of His children. That's one of the wonderful things that He could tell me, because He followed it up with, but come unto me and live. Accept me into your heart and gain salvation, that you'll be in heaven forevermore. That's the wonderful thing, Brother Roger. If you have the singers come up, maybe sing a song of invitation. And we'll just have a song of invitation here this morning. Brother Brandon's preached enough to know what it means to be saved. And I pray this morning that just a few words that I said this morning might let you know where you stand with God. The good thing is that Brother Roger doesn't know your heart.
No.
I don't know your heart. There's a lot of preachers. There's one sitting back there in the back. He's a preacher. He doesn't know your heart. Several churches represented here this morning. We don't know your heart. But just like Adam in the garden tried to hide himself, God said, why are you hiding yourself? And he said, because I'm naked. And God said, who told you was naked? He said, that old serpent. Well, I'll tell you what this morning. You know that you're a sinner.
Yeah.
You know you're lost. Why is it that you know you're lost? This time it's because the Word of God has revealed it to you.
Yeah.
The Word of God has showed you this morning that there's something lacking in your life. And just like the many that have stood up here to sing, and all these kids, all the wonderful things that they said about Brother Roger this morning, it's not because of Brother Roger. It's because what God's done for Brother Roger. There was a time, believe it or not, church, when Brother Roger didn't love everybody because he was lost. When God saved him, a love was placed down on the inside where he loved the brethren. That's what God does. This morning you might think, well, I love everybody. You don't love them like God does. You need the Lord this morning. Go ahead and sing a verse.
Thank you.
May break down, but I can take them back to that place, that little pile of stones, and say, devil, this is where you get off, because this is where the Lord saved me. You can have that this morning. One more verse.
Sent you a word this morning that through these two, and you know, there's only one message. The message is that God loves you. Jesus loves you so much He died for you today. And no matter where you're trying to hide, and it goes right with these messages this morning, no matter where you're trying to hide, God knows where you're at. You might fool mom and dad, you might fool everybody in the house, but you're not fooling yourself. And you're not fooling God. Today you say, well, this service has come to an end and I've made it out and don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Folks, how many of you today that know the Lord thought that you made a way of escape only to go home and still face conviction in your life in days ahead until you got right with God? Scott, we can try to hide it. We can try to cover it. But God knows our hearts are just tore up. And we're trying our best to persuade everybody that everything is all right. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. We appreciate these songs. And we appreciate the word that we have heard today. It's time to have some fellowship, one with another. And I see so many that I hope I get around to see each and every one of you. That you go downstairs with us and... Okay. Yeah. Where's Jeff? Is he in the back room? Jeff, come out here. And while he's coming, let's do this. Because some of you need to go downstairs. We're going to ask